"I shall be so lucky," Isk said. "Still, anything to help out an old naval hand. Did you know what you were looking for?" "I had some unlin crab once. They were gorgeous. Orange sole, too, if you have some."
"Fuchi," Cactus chipped in.
"And silver eel," Edwin said eagerly. "I think you'd better come down and have a tasting session," Isk said. "Give you a better idea of what we have available."
"Right away. And do you know any other families who might have a surplus we can buy up?"
"I'll ask around. See you for supper."
The affinity link faded. Syrinx clapped her hands together. Reuben kissed her lightly.
"You're a marvel," he told her.
She kissed him back.
"This is only half the battle. I'm still relying on your contact once we get to Norfolk."
"Relax. He's a sucker for seafood."
"Oxley," she called, "break out the flyer. It looks like we're in business."
Joshua hadn't expected to feel like this. He lived for space, for alien worlds, the hard edge of cargo deals, an unlimited supply of adventurous girls in port cities. But now Tranquility's drab, matte russet exterior was filling half of the Lady Mac's sensor array visualization, and it looked just wonderful.
"I'm coming home."
A break from Ashley, moaning about how much better life was 2 centuries ago. No more of Warlow's grumpiness. An end to Dibby's fastidious and perfidious attention to detail. Even Sarah was getting stale. Freefall didn't provide an infinite variety of positions after all. And once you discounted the sex, there wasn't much else between them. Yes, a rest was most definitely what he needed. And he could certainly afford one after that Puerto de Santa Maria run. Harkey's bar was going to resemble a pressure blowout after he hit it this evening. The rest of the crew were hooked into the flight computer via their neural mnemonics, sharing the view. Joshua guided the ship along the vector. Spaceport traffic control had datavised to him, keeping the ion thruster burns to a strict minimum. Lady Mac's mass distribution held no mysteries now. He knew how she would respond to the impact of a single photon. She settled without a bounce on the cradle, and the hold-down latches clicked home. Joshua joined the rest of them in cheering. 2 sergeants were waiting for him when they came through the rotating pressure seal connecting the spaceport disk with the habitat. He just shrugged lamely at his open-mouthed crew as the Bitech servitors hauled him towards a waiting tube carriage, all 3 of them skip-gliding in the 10% gravity field, his shoulder bag with its precious contents trailing in the air like a half-inflated balloon. "I'll catch up with you tonight," he called over his shoulder as the door slid shut. Ione was standing on the platform when it opened again. It was the little station outside her cliff base apartment. She was wearing a black dress with cutaway sides and a fabulously tight skirt. Her hair was frizzed elaborately. When he stopped looking at her legs and breasts in anticipation, he saw there was a daunting expression on her face.
"Well?" she said.
Where is it?"
"What, exactly?"
A black shoe with a sharply pointed toe tapped impatiently on the polyp. "Joshua Calvert, you have spent over 11 months gallivanting around the universe without, I might point out, sending me a single memory fleck to say how you were getting on."
"Yes, sorry. Busy, you see."
Jesus, but he wanted to rip that dress off. She looked 10 times more sexy than she did when he replayed the neural mnemonic memories, and everywhere he went, people were talking about the new young Lord of Ruin. Their fantasy figure was his girl. It just made her all the more desirable.
"So, where's my present?"
He almost did it. He almost said, "I'm your present." But even as he started grinning, he felt that little spike of anxiety inside. He didn't want anything to foul up this reunion. Besides, she was only a kid. She needed him. So best to leave off the crappy jokes.
"Oh, that," he murmured.
Sea blue eyes hardened.
"Joshua?"
He twisted the catch on his shoulder bag. She pulled it open eagerly,